We've been spending quite a bit of time on this on Wednesday nights, and I have a lot to say on this. I'm going to be, last Sunday morning I spoke on it for about 50 minutes. It was a long message. And then probably this Sunday morning again, I want to be done by July, and it's not going to happen if I do it only on Wednesday night. So we're going to have to double it up, and I'll be in 2 Corinthians on Sunday nights. I think that's my plan as of right now. You'll know Sunday if it changes, all right? You know what happens when plan A don't work and you got to use plan B? You didn't have a very good plan A. That's right. But we'll try that. So we're back in Romans 8. Kingdom authority, one of the things we said last week was kingdom authority comes from above. As we pray in Jesus' name, and I'm going to major on that Sunday morning, I think. As we pray in Jesus' name, there is authority. People need to understand, Christians need to understand, that there is authority in the name of Jesus. Now this evening, we're going to go back to Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to remind you of three vital truths to try to make sense of the suffering that we see in this present world. There's a lot of suffering in this world. There's suffering everywhere. Heartache everywhere, trials everywhere, burdens everywhere. Just, it's everywhere. So we looked at this two Wednesdays ago. I won't say much about this part. But we said two Wednesdays ago that yesterday's curse brings bondage. And that was from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 22. When Adam and Eve sinned, they dragged all of creation down with them. And the world fell into what the Bible calls, in verse 18 there, the bondage of corruption. The whole world, every part of it. And then we began to look at different parts of the world that fell into that corruption. And I said the animal kingdom was corrupted, the mineral kingdom was corrupted, the vegetable kingdom was corrupted, everything was corrupted. And I got going on them stinking woodchucks. Did you know I've seen two more woodchucks in my yard since last? My wife took a shot at one today. I hope she got it. I pray in Jesus' name that she killed that woodchuck. It was the mommy woodchuck, you know, the one with all the little babies running around, the stinking things. Anyhow, I'll get off of that hobby horse. I got this thing against him. I just hate him. But anyway, yesterday's curse brings bondage. Then I want to say this. Tomorrow's conquest, and this is where we'll begin tonight, tomorrow's conquest will bring liberty. Now, I want you to notice, if you would please with me, verse 21 through 23. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. We will be delivered from the bondage of corruption, beloved, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Now, creation is pressed down with grief and distress. We should do all that we can to take care of our bodies. We should do all that we can to take care of our environment. But the truth of the matter is, because of this curse for right now, for a while, we're fighting a losing battle. Some of you have probably heard me say, with some of the things that the government does, we know, you know, we've read a little bit about prophecy, we know what's coming down the road, and so we know in some ways we're fighting a losing battle. But we're not going down without a fight, man. We're just going to keep fighting. Now, the golden age, as we call it, will dawn when Jesus comes. Meanwhile, all of creation is waiting and yearning for the Lord's return. There will be, when the Lord comes, now all this parts of the world that's being pressed down and groaning and all this travail and all that, there's going to be an amazing change. Now, take your Bible there and go to Isaiah chapter 11. Now, earlier I said that the animal kingdom was being pressed down. But when Jesus comes, the animal kingdom, and during the millennial kingdom especially, the animal kingdom will be changed. I mean, it's not going to be like you and I have see it now. It's not like anything we've ever seen before. Verse 6 of Isaiah 11. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Can't picture it. The wolf lays down with the lamb. Wolves and lambs, the only way they lay down together if the lamb is inside the belly of the wolf. But that's not what it's going to happen here. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Now, you don't picture today, a little child going out there and leading a lion. But this is going to be an amazing change. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall lay play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand into the crocodile's den, but he's not going to get hurt by it. They shall not hurt nor destroy in any of my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So the animal kingdom, like you and I know it right now, I mean, it's going to be changed. Animals will no longer be under the curse. They will live in harmony and one with another. I mentioned last couple weeks ago that the mineral and vegetable kingdom was going to be in trouble. But once this happens, the mineral and vegetable kingdom will be changed. The beauty of God's earth is going to be awesome. Have you ever thought about what might happen to the Sahara Desert? I mean, it's just a desert. Let me read you. You can turn over if you want to, but Isaiah 35 and verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Now, that is something. I mean, that is a change. You could see it, we'd say maybe a change and a half. But not only that, look at Philippians chapter 3. Our bodies will be changed. Now notice in Philippians 3 and verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now you ought to think about your glorified body. You'll be like Jesus. All sin gone. No sorrow. No trouble. No pain. No weakness. Nothing. It's just going to be wonderful. All blemishes, all faults placed on us by the curse of sin are erased forever. Then we'll be able to shout amen and hallelujah and praise the Lord. And notice what he says in Romans chapter 8, if you'll go back there, please, at verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time, and everybody goes through suffering in this present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I mean, what a day that will be when he turns every tear to peril, every hurt to a hallelujah. Remember, tomorrow's conquest will bring liberty. Now, the third thing I want to mention is in verse 24, and that is today's comfort is hope. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hoped. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Now, just remember that the groans we endure today are temporary. It's a transformed by a hope that is rock solid. Isn't like, well, I hope so. It's a no-so kind of a hope. We know this is going to happen. The Bible's very clear on this. They are transfigured by a hope that is rock solidly, certainly based on the promises of God. Now, you go back there to Romans chapter 8, and if you want to read down to verse 19 through 22 again, you can. But there is the groaning of creation. Creation groans. The creature was made subject to vanity. That's what it says there. Vanity means that it does not measure up to the original intention. Right now, creation is not the way God had intended it to be. But there is a better time coming for creation. And then in verses 23 through 25, it says, there is the groaning of the Christian. I think I'll read that again. Let me turn back a page. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Now notice what he says. Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. As Christians, we groan because we are part of the creation. But our groaning is transformed by hope. In the Bible, hope is a certain and glad expectation. And our hope is wrapped in the blessed promise that Jesus is coming again. Paul told Titus, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We do groan now, but I remind you something. We don't groan forever. So while we're groaning now, our groaning won't be forever. And then in verses 26 and 27 of Romans chapter 8, there is a groaning of the Comforter. Likewise, the Spirit. Okay, the Spirit is also called the Comforter. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, did I read what I told you I was going to read? Yeah, I did. We don't bear our groanings alone. Who groans right alongside of us? The Holy Spirit of God. Now, there was a fellow that had cancer, and somebody sent him a letter, and, you know, was feeling horribly bad for him. The guy wrote back he came up with a list of things that cancer cannot do. It can be awful, he said, but here's what it can't do. He said, cancer cannot cripple love. Cancer cannot shatter hope. It cannot corrode faith. It cannot eat away peace. It cannot destroy confidence. It cannot kill friendships. It cannot shut out memories. It cannot silence courage. It cannot invade the soul. It cannot reduce eternal life. It cannot quench the spirit. It cannot lessen the power of the resurrection. Now that's a guy that had it. No disease can rob you of God's presence. No illness can steal away his joy. No accident can dim his love for us. What cannot be cured can be endured. When Fanny Crosby was diagnosed with blindness, after all, she had an eye disease, but she went blind. And her mother came home. She'd saved up all this money to take her to a special doctor. He said, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do for your daughter. She came home and she was moaning and groaning and complaining to her mother. And Fanny's grandmother looked at her and says, what cannot be cured can be endured. That's a tremendous statement. You know why? Because in Jesus, we have victory. Amen. We are being prepared for glory, but we're not in glory yet. I was talking to somebody, you've probably talked to people this way recently, trying to witness to some guy. He says, well, I think we're in hell right now. This isn't hell right now. Okay, and it was last Saturday, door knocking last Saturday morning. He said, and he believes, you figure out what doc, he's part of, a little bit part of a religious group. Now you connect the dots if you can. He believed that the grave ends it all for those that are not in God's family. And that there's no such place as hell. And he would be a Jehovah Witness. They don't believe in hell. They believe once you go to the grave, that's it. Well, they don't believe in eternal punishment. They don't believe God would ever do that to anybody or anything like that. But we're being prepared for glory, but we're not there yet. Rather than defeating us, all the curses of this world can draw the believing heart closer to the Lord. In these things, we are more than conquerors, Paul said in this very same chapter. So in the midst of all of these things, the world, the flesh, the devil, we can experience and win through kingdom authority. These things have no power over us. Remember, it's a spiritual authority. Now, let me say this and I'll be finished in a few moments. There is hope for me and there's hope for you. Romans chapter 8 begins with this in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. And it ends in verse 39, where it says, nothing, didn't say that word, but nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So it starts with no condemnation and it ends with no separation. We have been lifted out of the miry clay. And one day we will be lifted to ultimate authority where we rule and reign with Christ. Now, a few more passages of scripture I want to turn to. And that is Hebrews chapter 2. I think I actually did point to this a couple of weeks ago, but I want to remind you. Verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the sons of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. We don't see it yet, but one day we will. God has left nothing that is not subject to him, but we don't see it all yet. One day we will. One day it says in 1 Corinthians 13, For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. But now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. Barbara Lee Johnson wrote this, Count It All Joy. She said, I'd like all of us to understand the power and peace that comes from knowing the God who loves you and has given you authority to victorious in all things. Paul was chained in a prison cell, but his heart soared on the wings of the Lord. I pray that you would grasp the hope of your calling in Christ and the powerful love that he has given you. Let's close with Ephesians chapter 1. I echo this prayer. Sometimes I read this prayer out loud to the Lord for the church. I don't know that you could say it any better. I'm not a Catholic. I don't repeat prayer after prayer, you know, six Ephesians 1s or whatever. But I do pray this sometimes. But I just want to read it to you. Ephesians 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might, dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, And has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And while we wait, and we're in waiting, while we wait for the full release of our legacy, remember that day by day, you and I, and we'll learn more about this as we go on, because I'm going to start this week on how to exercise kingdom authority. As we learn how to exercise our kingdom authority over the world, the flesh, and the devil, we can live as conquerors. And the reason I started teaching this, I've taught it negatively in Sunday school, and now I'm teaching it positively in this series, is because I see way too many Christians not living victorious Christian lives. They don't seem to know anything about kingdom authority. They don't seem to really understand that there is power in the name of Jesus, and they just live down, defeated lives. That is absolutely not God's will for us. It just isn't. And yet, the world is full of people that live in that way. Father, I pray in the name of our Savior that you would teach us how to exercise kingdom authority. That we would live it out in the realities of our life. They would experience victory after victory after victory. And while we live in a cursed world, and while we are groaning, Lord, we can still be more than conquerors. We can still be victorious. We can still enjoy a happy-go-lucky, God-loving life. May we all come to attain it as we wait for the redemption of the body. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.